hey Audrey, you are going to be replaced. So that was a huge shock for me, right? To hear that from my client. Trust me, it has transformed my entire life.
Audrey Chea, founder of Close With Copy, a hybrid human AI copywriting consultancy helping brands scale with speed.
You were even considered the top 20 LinkedIn influencer in Singapore, in the same ranking with the president and the prime minister.
I'm very proud of that. I sent that to my mom. I was like, Mom, look, I made it in life. We have all shared about, you know, 70 to 80% time savings across the board. Everyone has been saying the same thing. When the human element will become even more important, more so than ever.
And I'm doing this for the first time in the show.
It's a super powerful tool that helps you to.
You are amazing.
This is the power of AI. That's why I really enjoy experimenting and playing with it, because it's very simple. Just spend 10 minutes a day doing.
And you went from 0 to 26,000 followers on LinkedIn in under 10 months. And you were even considered the top 20 LinkedIn influencer in Singapore, in the same ranking with the president and the prime minister.
I'm very proud of that. I sent that to my mom. I was like, Mom, look, I made it in life.
Tell me about that journey. How did you do that?
Yeah. So not many people know this, but I had no social media presence before LinkedIn. Like, yes, I struggled to be online. So I was one of the weird folks in my circle of friends who didn't post on Instagram, who didn't post on Facebook, who was not on TikTok. I had no social media presence and I didn't actually enjoy being there because, as you know, I love working. I love doing things, building things. So this just wasn't a part of me that I was comfortable with, like sharing my personal life, talking about myself. Like, why would I want to do that? So I really had a long conversation with my friend. She was like, you need to put yourself out there, my good friend, right? And I said, I can't do it. Like, I don't even post stuff. How am I gonna do that? And then it was also that feeling of utter discomfort. And one day I asked myself, do I want to grow my business? How much do I want it? Am I willing to do whatever it takes? And the answer was yes. So that was why I started. So my first post only went out after 6 months of me thinking about it.
Wow.
Yeah, and really deliberating and thinking, must I do this? Can I? Is there any other way? And I tried different ways of networking and outreach before that, which wasn't as effective. So the moment came of, like, I have to make a decision. And I said, okay, I will do it. And that was, I think, 9 months ago when I started posting. The first post took me 2 weeks to write, took me 2 weeks to post. But after the first post went out, it just got a lot easier. And I met a lot of other people along the way who were really genuine and who were also on that journey of entrepreneurship, of growth, of figuring life out, which made me feel like there are people like me out there and there is really a sense of community. As cliche as it sounds, it is true that I found a sense of community. Yeah. Mm.
But I think you figured out the formula, right?
Yes.
Tell us, like, whoever wants to succeed on LinkedIn and wants to grow the following, but also the engagement with the community to create leads, what are the steps that you did so that we can learn from you?
Yes, definitely. So I always think of LinkedIn as a platform, right? If it's a platform, a media platform, and you are the product, how would you sell yourself? So put on like a marketer's mindset, a growth marketer's mindset, right? And think, how am I going to strategize and create content to get from 0 to 20 in a short amount of time? So what I always do is, firstly, figure out what's my value proposition. Mm. So for me, it was AI copywriting. That is a niche. No one has touched it. I know that I can leverage it for growth. So I wanted to own that space. So figure out what's your value prop, right? And then part two, you have to do your competitive analysis. It's the same as ads, right? I have to figure out who is in my space, what are they talking about? And then what I did was also looked at their top performing posts, as well as posts that did not do well. So I did a full competitor analysis and market landscape for myself to figure out, okay, these types of posts works. Why? Is it because of the structure? Is it because of the format? Is it because of, you know, the value that it was providing? So I had to analyze every single post I saw, and I would save them whenever I saw a viral post. Yeah, so when I got when I first started and I wanted to grow from 0 to 5K, right, it wasn't about me posting about my business. I had to answer the question that was top of people's minds, because that would give me that growth and traction. So the question I actually answered was, what is the best AI copywriting tool? Right? So that brings your expertise, your knowledge, together with something that everybody wants to know but nobody has the time to find out. And then I created a series of 8 posts based on that. And that got me from 0 to 5, because people wanted to know the answers. And I wasn't selling. I wasn't talking about myself. I was just saying, here is me as a copywriter, right? I can show you the results from all my different tests, and I want to deliver massive value to you without asking you for anything.
Wow.
Yeah. So when you know how to do that, when you understand the formats, when you understand how to solve someone's questions, you can create content that really drives virality. But that's only the first phase, right? And then in the second phase, you have to figure out, how do you engage with other creators? How do you really understand the algorithm such that you are creating content and even posting it at times where other creators are active? So there is strategy behind posting times, engagement, you know, tagging fellow creators. And as you know, I'm not a social media person, but I just think of it as strategy. How do you win, right? And then you be very deliberate about analyzing your results, optimizing, and then creating even better content based on whatever you've learned.
Well, I love so much the how you started with, you understood what was the most important question or the pain point of your audience. How did you get there?
Because I had to first put myself in the shoes of my target audience. Oh. It's the same thing as what I would do for advertising or for marketing, right? What is the audience insight? So it was very clear to me that I had to find a very common pain point. And you can do that through, for example, Quora or Reddit. You can take a look at what people are searching for. You can also assess like market sentiment when you read the comments and someone's saying like, so what do you think is the best tool? Yeah, so you get like an idea of what people are searching about and what they want to know by doing that kind of research. And then also putting yourself in the shoes of your prospect and thinking, if I want to use AI and I don't know where to get started, what is the first challenge I'm going to face?
Yeah. I see. I love that. Yeah. So when we talk about AI, I think there's a lot of people with the discomfort is, how do I write content that sounds human while using AI? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I have always been a proponent of the human AI approach. I never, ever, you would never see me in my post say that this is, I only use AI. I always talk about the human AI approach, because that's how you ensure the quality of writing remains, right? So for example, in my own workflows, I always have the human insight part where I'm thinking of the strategy, where I'm thinking of the value proposition, positioning, unique selling points. Then thinking, okay, now with this in mind, I can craft a prompt or use a tool to build a flow that works with this, right? And now I can create a structure of a prompt with that knowledge, create an output, and then go in and review and refine the work. So this saves me 70% of the time it would usually take. Yeah, but still ensures that the quality is there, because you have the human touch here and at the end.
Well, so for people, I mean, I think I feel like AI is like a train that is passing at high speed, you know, and I think everyone is trying to understand, I mean, how to do it and how can I also jump on the train. So for people who are still thinking, should I jump or maybe a bit scared, like what are the benefits that you can get from using AI for content creation?
The first one, I think I've already mentioned it, is the time savings. trust me, it has transformed my entire life. And I know it's not just for me, right? Other content creators who are using AI in their work processes, we have all shared about, you know, 70 to 80% time wow. savings, like across the board, everyone yeah. has been saying the same yeah. thing. So some creators use it in their video creation process where they create scripts in a much faster way, right? Because now you have a framework, a template, and then you just pop in your transcript, you get a much faster kind of V1. For myself, I use it to create landing pages, ads, LinkedIn content, emails, because anything that has a structure and flow, you can teach AI exactly. to execute on. But it won't give you 100% of what you're looking for. It will get you to 60 to 70%, which is more than good enough to save you that time where it takes you from like ideation and brainstorming to version one that you can iterate upon. So that kind of time savings plus productivity savings is amazing. Of course, this in turn then helps me to scale faster. I used to only work with, let's say, like 3 clients, right? Because of, you know, time. Now I can easily triple it or more. Yes, because of how it has given me the ability to quickly and rapidly create content, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, while still ensuring the quality. The quality cannot drop because that is you as a professional delivering the results, right? But if you can integrate it into your workflows, you will be able to scale yes. yourself and your business.
Yeah, what I love about your approach is that, like, of course you want to gain time, like productivity, but you don't want to impact the final result. Yes. And with AI, you are able to create a content which is engaging, saving 70% or 80% of your time, and increase the impact of your message, right? So what do you see, like, the people who you interact with when it comes to AI into content? What are the main blocks? What are they struggling with?
There are a couple of challenges that I have always I've been seeing. The first thing is they rely on AI for the sake of it. So when they do that, right, when you use AI to create content and you don't put thought behind it, you will realize that a lot of the copy sounds very, very, very AI. So things that go like attention founders, or like, you know, it is not this, it is that. or like leverage, supercharge, you know, things like the words that AI tend to like to use. Mm-hmm. Usually fall in a certain tone of voice or there's a certain writing style, and you will see that being repeated. So unless you know how to prompt to remove those words yeah. or prompt with a trained example, then you will be able to shift away from that very cliche AI tone of voice. So that happens when people use it without much thought, right? And be like, I just need to get content out. I don't really care about the quality of content. But the problem is that when people see AI content that is obviously AI,
exactly,
they get, you know, a bit turned off, right? And that means your content isn't delivering results because it's not going to be effective. So that's like one problem. The second problem is, like what you said, they don't know where to integrate it into their workflows.
Oh, I see.
They could be like, hey, Audrey, I have a marketing team, I want to use AI. Where do I start? Yeah, and because they know the potential, but they haven't explored it enough. So you don't know where to integrate it, right? And I always start with a problem-first approach. So for example, if you are building landing pages for a client and you realize that, hey, I have a lean team, I can't scale the copywriting process for this specific landing page, what can you do? You can create a system or a framework to then make sure that process is a lot faster than before. And now, instead of having 5 freelancers, you can have 1 in-house member to do the same amount of work, and you unblock that part of your process in your whole marketing team. So it's about finding out where are the blockers, then how do you use AI to overcome those?
I see. Yeah, those are two huge blocks. Maybe you, so that we can see in action the power of AI, maybe you can share a success story, how you were able to create content from for one of your clients using AI.
Yeah, so I have been working with a couple of very technical kind of clients, right? And one example is a client from the biotech industry. The problem that they faced was they have very technical research papers, and unfortunately, you can't get good content from a simple prompt because of how technical the research papers are, right? So to create content with that original knowledge base, you have to create a system of assistance that allows you to pull out content, categorize it, understand style and structure, tone of voice, check back again to make sure it's accurate. Then you get to the final output, which could be a more accessible blog post. So this is one way in which you can streamline a process which would otherwise have taken most writers huge amounts of time, because it's highly technical, highly specific, and the output is something you need to tailor to a specific audience. So you need to have copywriting expertise. You need to have knowledge in the field, and not many agencies or teams can actually deliver on that. So that's where I think AI has a super good use case. Being able to combine knowledge in a specific field with writing expertise, if trained well.
Wow, I love that. And now, I mean, in my mind is the same question that when you started, everyone was having the same question and problem, which is, which tool do I use, right? And you use a lot. So maybe, so from your explorations, what have you learned?
I have learned that it's not about trying 100 different tools. It's about sticking to one or two tools that you actually love and use every day. So for myself, I have been using ChatGPT for about a year now. But I will be making a shift to either Claude or Gemini for different use cases. But you need to know like which AI chatbot is great for what use case. Because once you know how good they are or not at a certain task, then you'll know when to deploy each of them, right? It's almost like building a team. You need to know their strengths and weaknesses and then figure out like, okay, for landing pages, I'm going with Claude. For Facebook ads and Google ads, Google Gemini is actually amazing at it. I think it's because it's Google as well. So when I tested the same prompt on all three platforms, you'll realize that one platform does better in a specific niche or area. And if you're able to master like that skill set of identifying which tool works best for your needs, then it's just like, you know, at your disposal, and you can play and learn and grow in a very effective way.
Yeah. So what it looks like, what you're saying is like, okay, choose one or two tools and explore, start playing with it rather than just try to go to too many tools, right? Yes. But I think what it looks like, what you're saying, is the key is the process, the system, the templates that you create around, then that will help you to create better contents. And I want you to reveal your secrets to us. So if you can, and I'm doing this for the first time in the show, I'm not going to ask you to tell us how to do. I'm actually going to ask you to show us how to do.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. I think one thing I could probably walk you guys through is how you could quickly create LinkedIn content and turn a transcript, for example, from our conversation into something that can be used pretty quickly. That could be an interesting exploration.
We talk about creating the content, but there's a step which I think you nailed it so well, which is your personal branding. I love your branding. It's distinctive, it's simple, and is clear. You know, so for people who want to create content, they need to create their personal brand. Like, what is your advice to create our personal brand?
You need to sell yourself in a smart way that makes you unique in the marketplace. Mm. So I always ask myself this question: how do I win in a crowded marketplace? For personal branding, it's the same thing. You need to find a spot in your audience's mind, right, that you want to occupy. And in my case, I occupied the space of AI copywriting. I was very clear on that. I could have done a lot of different things. I could be like, I want to be a landing page copywriter. Or I could be like, I want to show people that I have brand and conversion expertise, and that could be another niche. But I chose AI copywriting because of where we are at in this stage. I was very strategic about it. So for a new person trying to figure out how do we build a personal brand, you need to find where is your value proposition,
yes,
your strategic positioning. You need to have your USPs. It's the same as selling a product. What are your unique selling points?
Mm.
Why do people come to me, right? They come to me for, you know, to make their life easier. It's more productive. They come to me because they don't know how to use AI. So I educate them. I give them value. You know, they come to me to understand growth. And how do you grow on a social platform? So you need to know like what people are coming to you for.
Mm.
And then when you are able to combine your positioning with the themes,
yeah,
then you can start creating content that answers the reader's questions, that paints you in a specific place that you want to be.
Yeah.
And so when someone thinks, I need a copywriter or I need AI help, who are they going to come to? That person who has occupied that space in your minds. So figure out what is that positioning you want to be in, and then figure out what are the three things you are known for,
yeah,
and then figure out how do you create content to then make this message really clear and do it consistently. The key is consistently. There are a lot of people who try to build their personal brand and they burn out after 3 months because it's hard work, right? You have to keep thinking of new ideas, being present, being online. It's really, really hard work. And I always ask like, what is your why? Like for being there, right? What is your ultimate goal? You're not just creating content for the sake of it.
Yeah.
What do you want to achieve from there? And even if you have a current role and position, right? The reason why you might want to create content could be because you want to explore something different. You want to open new doors. You want to, you know, share your passions. So what is that why? And then that will give you a lot more clarity when building that brand for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And from that process, like how do you translate that into a content strategy? Maybe you can help us. Okay, I know my personal brand. Then how do I build my content strategy?
I love that question because content strategy is strategy. I love figuring out like how do I grow, right? So on LinkedIn, for example, once you figure out your pillars, your positioning, then you have to create content that falls under three buckets. Top of funnel content for visibility.
Okay.
Mid of funnel content for education and awareness. And bottom of funnel content for conversion. And you need to have a mix of them in different proportions depending on what stage of growth you're in. So in the beginning, you will always be aiming for top of funnel content, things that drive visibility. But they are not going to bring you the right ICP, ideal customer profile, because they're going to be attracting, you know, people who want, for example, free stuff or are interested in just the latest trends. It doesn't mean they're ready to buy. So an example of top of funnel post could be, I'm giving away my AI marketing playbook, right? And I'm giving it away for free, even though I've spent 1,000 hours on it. Now that is value. You're going to get a lot of people interested in AI, in marketing, and people who want something for free, right? And a small percentage of them will be your ICP. Then to nurture them, you need to have mid or funnel content where you demonstrate authority, where you demonstrate your expertise. So I highly recommend a format of videos for this, because when you do like a 3 to 5 minute video walkthrough, you show them how you use a certain application or tool or how you get to your end result. It very clearly demonstrates that you know what you're talking about. And it's like proof, you know, like I'm not just viral for no reason. I have meat and substance. And finally, once you have nurtured them, you can reach your bottom of funnel post where you ask for a conversion. And in this case, you could post a customer testimonial, you could post like a case study, and you could be like, I have an offer only valid for 1 week. So are you going to, like, it's, you're in or not, right? So now you have structured it in a way, right, that, okay, when you're creating content, you have this in mind. So you're slowly pushing your audience from one stage of the funnel to the next and to the bottom.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, where I struggle to how to figure out the ICP, the ideal customer profile. Can you give us some tips on how to get to the ICP?
Yes. So to get to your ICP, you need to know your offer.
Yeah.
What is that offer? who are you chasing? Yeah. This was something that I had to learn along my journey because it's not as straightforward as it seems. Most people are like, I'm just going to aim for, you know, mid-sized companies in the US, you know, with a CMO and a team of 3 to 4 marketers. Like, to get there, you need to first experiment with your offer and who is actually interested in it. So in my case, I used to work a lot with startups and I used to do like consulting work for them, which made sense because I have a background in the 0 to 1 and I'm really good at that. But for me to scale, I needed to actually introduce an AI system.
Yeah.
For a bespoke AI system, startups are going to be like, I don't really want that system. I want you. Like, why are you sending me a system, right? Because they want it already done for you.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have a bespoke AI system, you're aiming for a mid-sized company that already has a team that is churning content just not fast enough, and you're solving that pain point for them. Now you start defining the ICP. And even to things like, are they based in Singapore or are they based in the US? Because in Singapore, people might be slower to adoption. In the US, people might have a different mentality. So if you know the offer, then you can, you know, very clearly identify your ICP and you find that match, right, between your offer and who you're actually chasing.
Yeah, and I think, how can we use AI to as a feedback loop to our content so that we can then feed it again to our strategy? How can we do that?
There are 2 ways you can do that. Actually, 3. The first way is to get your data. Yeah. So if you're exporting data from LinkedIn or any other like ad source, and please make sure that you're okay sharing the information, you can get ChatGPT to analyze that data and pull out insights for you. For example, for me, my top performing posts actually happens on Fridays and Sundays.
Oh.
Yeah, and that was something I didn't know before. And it seems like these 2 days are great for me to be posting. So I make sure that I hit those days, right? That's like one thing I do.
Okay.
Analyze your data. The second thing is you can get it to critique your own content strategy by asking it to be an expert, you know, like brand strategist or marketer. Take it with a pinch of salt. Don't take everything it says as, you know, the word, right? But it's good to have like a different perspective. So I think of it as a sparring partner. And I'll be like, hey, what do you think? Am I missing anything? Then it's like, I think you could do this. Then I'll be like, let me think about it. Yeah, but it helps to have that voice, right? And the third thing, which is really interesting and fun for me, is you could train it on certain books or concepts. So for example, you could get it to understand the psychology of influence, right? And then it can then give you feedback based on that.
See.
Yeah, so train it on strategies or frameworks. Get it to give you feedback based on those.
Yeah.
And then you'll find that there's a lot of room for improvement in your own work and you can always optimize it.
Yeah. When I look at your LinkedIn, you give so much value. It looks like you give away everything that you know. And I see sometimes people thinking about like, oh, but if I give away on social media everything that I know, then what am I going to charge people, right? What are your thoughts on that?
This is something I picked up from another LinkedIn creator. He said this. He said, if something feels too painful to give away, do it anyway. And the reason is because, number one, you are demonstrating value.
Yeah.
Number two, you're bringing the right audience. But number three, not everyone is going to apply everything that you share.
Exactly.
There is always going to be a group of people who are like, this is great, but I don't want to do it myself. Can you help me? That is where you sit, right? And I think as you give value, you're also going to get a lot more value in return. And interestingly, this is not just me and my, you know, followers. This is me and other creators. When I share my knowledge with them, they have shared so much, you know, of their kind of, sort of insights and their funnels and their flows with me. Things that I never would have gotten access to if I was, you know, hard up about my content. I'm just not going to share value. Mm-hmm. But the moment you share, I think you're creating that value exchange.
Yeah.
And you create that ecosystem where you give value, but you also get value in return. And that's incredibly powerful.
Mm. Yeah, and also a lot of times I think the biggest challenge for people, it's the execution, yeah. Right? And that's where, creators and people who provide service can capitalize on that. Good. So we're talking about AI, and the train is moving so, so fast. Maybe now we can look at the future. Well, whatever you can share with us, where do you see AI moving and impacting content creation and marketing?
So this is going to sound interesting, right? But I think the future will be a place where AI becomes commonplace. I think because it's going to be a part of our lives.
Yeah.
And every creator, marketer, agency is going to use it, which is when the human element will become even more important, more so than ever. So as everyone starts creating, you know, content at scale, that's when that human element of being vulnerable, being creative, being, you know, having a unique take is going to help your brand shine, because you're going to see a flood of content and they may not always be great. So I think as we evolve to a kind of stage where AI becomes mainstream, then being human will be the differentiator. I think that's going to be the future, actually. So it's a few steps ahead, but that's why the human and AI element is always going to be like a balance, right? It's how much of it are we playing with right now? Right now, you're a stage where nobody's really using AI. So if you use it, you're going to be at an advantage. Mm. But in the future, when AI becomes here and everyone's here, then being human will give you that edge.
Oh, yeah, that's super interesting. Yeah, and I think when that is clear, then what you just said, then it's about how can I now just jump, because it's going to be the future, as you say. So it's about just jumping fast and learn and take advantage of this, because it's a tool, right? That's there for us.
Yes, I think the one thing I might want to add is like the ability to grow and pivot is the thing that's going to keep you ahead, not the tools. Not, you know, a new technology. Those are ways to get to the end, right? But if you are able to say, regardless of what happens, I'm willing to learn.
Yes.
I'm not afraid to fail. And I'm willing to figure new ways.
Yes.
Then you will never have to be afraid of being replaced, because you're just pivoting and pivoting and pivoting.
Exactly.
But you're still moving in the right direction. Yeah. I think that is something that I hope for people to take away, especially if they're feeling like scared or nervous or anxious. You don't have to be. As long as you're the right mindset, right? I think that's the thing that's going to take you to the next level.
Yeah. So for people who might feel insecure or feel like a little bit of fear, what is the smallest thing that people can do in order to start that journey?
It's very simple. Just spend 10 minutes a day doing what you are afraid of. So for me, it was using ChatGPT, right? Yeah. It was supposed to be my enemy, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to learn it. I'm going to practice. I'm going to try, right? And I spent quite some time figuring it out, because there was no playbook. There was no framework. Mm. Nobody was doing what I was doing right now, right? So I had to say, okay, if no one's going to tell me how, I will find a way. And if someone is afraid and, you know, there isn't any like roadmap, right? It's okay. But I think it's just being, you know, open enough to say, let me try it.
Yes.
Let me test it. Let me experiment. And you have fun along the way. And that's how you really grow.
Okay, we are coming to the end. I would like to know, who is this smiley girl full of energy and that wants to change the world? Who is Audrey?
I am someone who is still figuring things out. And I'm not afraid to say that. I used to always think that I needed to have an end result or like a goal, you know, and say, I have to achieve this at this point in time. But I realized you can get lost in the process. And sometimes the destination is in the journey. Mm. It's in growing, learning, failing, meeting people who are like myself, and just being a better version of myself every single day. So I hope I can bring that energy, attitude, and enthusiasm to more people, because I know there are people who are stuck in their work, they're not happy. I know there are people who are scared, who are afraid that they're going to lose their jobs. I know there are people who are starting out and struggling and thinking, I shouldn't have quit my job. And I know that there are so many people out there who have a lot of emotional baggage when it comes to work. But I think that work can be a beautiful part of life. And I think that if you embrace the process and embrace the journey, you're already where you want to be.
Wow, I love that. Audrey, this is so nice. It's been so nice to have this conversation and to get to know you. And as a final question, what is the one message that you would love people to remember from our conversation?
Keep shining. Everyone has something within them that they can share, a value they can add to the world, and they shouldn't let anyone else tell them who they are, what they should do, or where they should be. If that's the one thing that I learned, is to just keep going, keep shining, and keep delivering that kind of light and value to the world.
So good. It was a pleasure to have you in the show. Thank you so much for sharing so generously to our audience, and I wish you all the best for your next endeavor.
Thank you for having me.